Hello and welcome back to Choice Chance. We are super excited. This season is all about generative AI and adoption of generative AI in the workplace. So today is a fantastic and exciting episode. I am delighted to be joined by my guest, Zvi Joseph, who's the Deputy General Counsel at Amdocs. Zvi, thank you for being here.
Hey, my pleasure.
Glad to have you with us. You know, Alex, as always in all of our episodes, is here as our co-host today.
Thanks, Mike. And nice to meet you, Zvi.
This is an important topic, right? We're talking about privacy today. Maybe first, you're Deputy General Counsel, so do a little translation for us. I'd go to ChatGPT and I'd ask what that means, but I'm sure your definition would be better. So tell us a little bit about what that means.
So this is one of those places where ChatGPT may not actually help you.
Exactly.
Because Amdocs' definition of Deputy General Counsel probably doesn't quite hit the industry. But I am responsible for all the corporate legal services. So everything on the corporate side of the house, whether that is, you know, our employment law group, our compliance group, our privacy group, litigation, and a whole host of other legal topics that are not customer facing.
So that means I need to be very careful what I say, right? I have to stick strictly to the script and be careful where I go. I won't veer at all. Maybe let's talk about just generally, you know, Gen AI is, we talked this season, right, with different folks in different professions, but it has, I would think, serious, you know, implications for privacy, right? So maybe generally, can you tell us a little bit about how the two kind of come together?
So I mean, let's take a step back. Ultimately, the generative AI systems, the Gen AI systems that are out there, whether it's ChatGPT or Bard or Copilot, are extremely popular. And the reason they're popular is, to some extent, they give people the opportunity to get answers to questions. They generate a tremendous amount of content, whether that content is text, images, audios, videos, combinations of all of those. And they do that basically out of pattern recognition. And the way they learn those patterns was by ingesting or being trained on massive, massive data sets and by analyzing massive amounts of data. So when you've got a lot of data, generally you're going to have issues around privacy or the need to maintain privacy. So where do they intersect? They intersect right at the beginning. And, you know, you have a couple of different possibilities of where things can go wrong. Right. You can have, on the training side, you can have oversharing and developers or trainers putting the wrong types of data or too explicit personal data into a training model. You can have users input into their prompts or their requests, personal or confidential or sensitive data. And then you also have the versatility of the output, right? So we've all seen the deepfakes, right? You've seen Tom Brady do stand-up comedy, and you've seen folks like Tom Hanks, you know, rep a dental firm he's never heard of. None of those things have ever happened, but they're out there. And they're getting worse every day. And by the way, as of, what was it, yesterday, 15 seconds of voice now means you're totally, so like, you're expendable. You know, 15 seconds of voice from this podcast, and anyone can do this podcast for you now using Gen AI.
So when you think about, you know, Amdocs as an organization or any enterprise that's using this technology, how do you think they and maybe we as employees should be thinking about this privacy issue, right? Like, and being aware of the data, like what should average employees know, right, about the situation with privacy and Gen AI?
That's an interesting question. You know, ultimately, at the end of the day, we are the custodians of other people's data and information. And those people may be our customers, those people may be our employees, and we have an obligation to them. And, you know, their privacy is nothing new. The GDPR has been around, the General Data Protection Act, regulation of the EU has been around for a while. There are a host of different regulations in the US around privacy. And all of those have dealt with data for a while. And AI shouldn't change that. Right. If you're going to use someone's data, you ought to have the consent to collect it. You ought to use the minimum amount you need to do what you need to do. And you ought to get rid of it when you're finished with the use. People need to be aware of how you're going to use their data. If you think about an AI ultimately is just a set of logical parameters. The data is no longer there. But on the other hand, if you look at a lot of these output use cases, right, the New York Times. Right. The data wasn't there, and yet the output looks awfully like the input. So it's kind of hard to say, you know, what's in the AI and what's not, because most of these are black boxes and we don't know exactly how they're working. But the assumption is going to be is if you've misused personal data on the way in, you're going to get it on the way out.
So if you think about individuals, what do we need to be thinking about? What are the considerations for us as people?
Well, I think you as a user or whose data is being used versus you as the person who wants to use the data have different considerations. So you as the person who wants to use someone's data, of course, like we spoke before, you know, you need to think about consent. You need to think about transparency. You need to think about accountability. You also need to think about, is this data going to create some sort of bias, right? Inherently, ultimately, the world is not perfect. And the data simply reflects the world around it. And we've had data models that come out with biased types of output as a result. And when you get into, you know, the concept of individuals such as, you know, employees and job prospects and things of that sort, biased models will ultimately increase inequality. So you have to, as the person putting this all together, you have to recognize, you know, your data sources, you have to recognize the inherent limitations, and you have to recognize the inherent biases that are there. And there are laws out there in various jurisdictions that actually require you to do that, but I think it's also just good practice. As a user, again, it's a generational thing, right? My generation never shared data with anyone. My kids' generation doesn't actually know that there is such a concept as privacy. They just assume everything goes out to everyone. But even in that generation, they're learning that in the AI world, it's more than what you chose to share, and you may choose to share everything, but that can be used in ways you never thought it was going to be used. And you have to be cognizant of that as well. It's just the reality of life.
On that note, actually, is a nice segue to Alex. And Alex gets to ask the esteemed last question of our session. So Alex, I'll hand it to you.
I really enjoyed learning from your insights about privacy in my AI world. And I wanted to ask you, what do you think of the balance between the potential benefits of Gen AI and the ethical considerations for privacy?
Well, I'm going to answer that question in a kind of backwards way. So I read recently a Harvard survey, and they surveyed a bunch of employees to understand what their view was on AIs doing performance assessments and providing feedback and providing ideas. And the interesting thing that I found about this survey is only 34% had any sort of negative sentiment, which means the vast majority of people believe that AI will do better than humans in certain instances. And in this case, it's for a whole host of reasons, right? They believe that the feedback is going to be more personalized. They'll get it real time. There's going to be less sort of interpersonal bias that you might have with your manager, and that the AI will know more about what you're doing and be able to give you better feedback than your manager, who may actually not even know what you're doing. So if you think about that kind of a look, you realize that AI has a tremendous amount of potential. And if people believe in it, it will do a lot of good. On the other hand, you can lose that credibility almost instantaneously. So right now we're at that beginning stage of any technology, right? When AI, you know, last year you had, you know, dozens and dozens of folks in the AI field out there screaming for regulation and for everyone to slow down. Those voices have slowly quieted down. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's like any other new technology. There is a tremendous amount of potential, which, if dealt with properly, will bring a tremendous amount of benefit. And it's really just a question of making sure that the folks working with it understand the risks and are trained and given the right education and awareness to take the time that's needed to make sure that other people's interests are also protected. And if you put that together, I think AI is going to be a wonderful thing. Yes, there's a tremendous potential for abuse, but there's such a tremendous potential for good.
I have to chime in and say I love that answer. I was speaking with our group that's responsible for ESG, for environmental social governance for the company. This is one of the things we talked about, right? Because we see generally, I think all of us as people, right, see headlines about the risk, right, and about the upcoming apocalypse, right, and all these other things, which, again, like you said, there's risk for everything, sure. But there is this potential, right, that A, there are a lot of practical applications where this can truly be helpful, right, and truly make the world, I don't want to use the words here, productive or efficient or whatever. That's not what it's about, right? In this context, it can truly make the world a better place. But only if the technology is really used responsibly, right? And, you know, like you said, the people who are involved in this day to day that are building the applications today and the framework and the infrastructure have a full perspective on how this can go wrong, right? And also how it can go right.
Right, because ultimately, at least in the short term, we're not talking about AIs, you know, doing stuff. We're talking about humans using AIs to do things. And like we just talked about, you know, AIs will make connections, especially, you know, that humans may not make. And you'll get answers in whether it's in healthcare or in, you know, social issues or in ESG, or eventually maybe humans will get there and will have made that same connection, but it will be so much faster and it will make things move a lot faster and make the world better a lot faster. And I guess that's sort of how I look at it. But it's just got to be done right.
I think it's a super important discussion. All of us are obviously dealing with it in different flavors every day. I hope that in a year's time, maybe not a year, let's see, 6 months maybe, you and I can have another discussion, or our AI you know, agents, whatever it will be in 6 months' time, right, can have a discussion and see how this has evolved. I'm sure we'll be living in a slightly or maybe seriously different world in a year, right? So
I'll have my AI assistant call yours.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. So thank you, Zvi. We appreciate you joining. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today, and have a great day.